Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the Ryback Show. I am your host, the big guy Ryback. Happy Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. We are streaming live on Instagram and TikTok, the big guy Ryback 22. Thank you to those of you that see the live stream over there. Streaming live, Facebook Ryback Reeves, Twitch at Ryback Rules, and here at Ryback TV on YouTube. Guys, super chats are greatly appreciated and brought up on the screen. Health, fitness, supplementation, pro wrestling, sports, and anything and everything in between. We are live on X Spaces at Ryback. If you guys would like to call in the People's Podcast, guys, call in at Ryback on X, Twitter, Spaces. Guys, whatever you want to call it there, just follow me or find the account, and you'll see the show live. On that, click on it, hit request to speak when you're in there, and you will fall into the queue to come onto the show, and I'll get the super chats in between taking calls. This show is available on all podcast platforms. iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated. If you have a moment, guys, to go to iTunes and leave a star rating and write a review, it really helps me out. Let's get some more of those in, please. It really helps. This show is brought to you by Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line, sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors for all people, men and women, he, she, and thee. FeedMeMore.com. You can save 20%. Discount code FeedMe20, FeedMe20. Over at FeedMeMore.com on all Ryback merch and the best supplements on the planet, as well as get a free Feed Me More Nutrition Hungry Shaker bottle with your orders, just like it is your free gift. Compliments of the big guy Ryback. Hello, hello, hello. Good to see you guys. Everybody take a look at the chat here. Unlimited Tyler, Sweet Sugar Sugar, good to see you, buddy. Everybody. Somebody feed him more. I just had some fruit and carbs. Some rice, some fruit, and some pickled beets. So I'm feeling good. We're still going up in weight, holding strong at the 300 mark. The heaviest I have weighed going to bed is 305, which usually on Fridays on my cheat meal day is the day that I usually have my highest weight of the week. On that, I'm debating. I'm said 310, and I'm gonna see. I've hovered between that 298 to 305 mark, though, here for a few weeks, two and a half weeks, right around that. And I feel very good. My cardio, it is definitely, I've done even more cardio, but I could tell a difference on my, on my Stairmaster. Like the record I have was 13 straight sets, I believe, 13 or 14. Did I do four? It's one or the other. but let's say 13, just because I know for sure it was that. 13 straight rounds of 1 minute on with my hands on the side, level 8, and then 30 seconds all out, level 25, maximum speed sprint. 13 times. That is, it's a lot. There's, I don't know. I'm trying to put it into perspective. I don't know how many people you could just pull and just say, hey, can you do this? I'm going to say there's not a lot with it. And specifically that, and I worked my way up to that. But now being as heavier, I'm 8 or 9 sets is about where I get to. It's not my fatigue of my cardio. It's my legs. My legs have always stayed big. When I gain weight, my legs get even bigger. That is, does everything. That's what she said. I take breaks and I do more repetitions on the cardio. So where I'm doing 13, 14, 15 total sets, even 16 on some days, but I break it up. I'll do like 5 or 6, 7, 8 rounds, go walk on the treadmill for 15, 20 minutes, back, do another 4 or 5, walk back, do another 2 or 3. That way I'm still getting in more hard conditioning, but it's just broken up a little bit as the weight. And then when my weight starts cutting down, my cardio should be at an all-time high because I've continued to push it, even at a heavier weight. So, but this is not a weight I would like, the wrestling weight. I'm always that 285 to 290 is my sweet spot with it, is where I feel very, very good. And, cause every pound makes a difference. That's like, if you got on the Stairmaster, you know, I'm probably 20 pounds heavier than what I was. And if I grab holding 2 10-pound weights, you just fatigue quick with all of that. You know, it's a lot of weight. So, but we're feeling great and on schedule. Luke says pickled beets are so good, brother. They are too good. They are, I'll still buy the raw regular golden or red beets and just cut them up. But the pickled beets are already cooked. There's no sodium or very low sodium, and I rinse them out really good. Man, those are, if you've never had pickled beets, you guys, I want you to go to your grocery store, go to the canned food aisle, and you go find those pickled beets. And you take those pickled beets home and you open them up and you rinse them off. I'm telling you, that with pickled beets, I eat the whole can with 2 to 3 servings of pink Himalayan sea salt with water and after. And I put a serving of sea salt also with my Pomplex City right before the gym. You want to talk about insane pumps. And it helps you push harder because I sweat a lot and do the sauna. And so I'm losing a lot of fluids when I train. It allows you to stay hydrated. You don't cramp. It's so, so good. The more I learn about just even electrolytes, and I've known a lot, but just continue to learn, and like how pink Himalayan sea salt and is, it's great, man. It is magical stuff. King says, stop the suppressions. Yep. The suppression. Nobody wants that more than me. Nobody wants it more than me, guys. The landlord harassment channel says your arch enemy Wheatback is looking for you. Thank you very much, old Wheatback. All right. We'll go ahead. Let's get some calls here. Get going on the show today. See that X Spaces is really pushing out the show hard on my 1.35 million followers. We have, not counting me, what is that, 4, 8, 12, 13, 15 people. Of my 1.35 million, I have a feeling this is probably yesterday's show was distributed to 1,500 people. Impressions, just impressions, 1,500 during the whole show yesterday, to put that into perspective. I see channels that like nobody never even saw it, like never heard of, no one even know. They've got like 12,000, but they have like a little bit of a following. And then they do shows and they have 6 figures on the impressions on the spaces. And I'm just like, this is... You know, I got to keep my cool and my composure, but it affects everything that I do. And the problem with this is, you guys know how a lot of people, their brains work, right? So the perception becomes reality. And this is what WWE doesn't care about. They just want the end result. It doesn't matter how they get to that end result. They just want the end result with it. And then, but I'm the one that has to deal with everything with it. But I always take everything. Everything happens for my favor and benefit with it. And I'm going to make a lot of people pay. I can... I assure you, I've been right on everything thus far. You are going to see a lot. When I am back in wrestling, there are going to be bombs left and right with things. If you just, we'll leave it at that. It is, I will not be holding back on anything, regardless of what, like it is, and it will be much needed, and it will be all be for good, not like drama negativity, but all for good with it. Cause we got a clean house on some of this scum and all this BS. The dirt sheets need to be put in their place. Organizations need to have a set, cut these guys off and deal with them appropriately. All right, let's take a call here. Autumn, we'll take Autumn. See how Autumn's doing. Check in with Autumn. Said Autumn like five times. Like Autumn. Autumn's on the show. Welcome, Autumn. Are you there, Autumn?
Hello. How are you?
I am good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I was just about to take out the trash when I heard my name called. So.
Well, I apologize. I saw you on there and checking in. How's everything going?
It's actually going really good. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
The Shrine is on the line for this one. How do you feel about pineapple on pizza?
So I like pineapple. I've had pineapple on pizza. I will eat it. Like if I was at a pizza party and it was just in all, the only thing they had was pizza with pineapple, I would have it. Now that said, if it's up to me, and I have my choice, I'm going to always go over pizza without the pineapple. Unless it's a pizza party before a big date, then I'm definitely going to eat the pizza with the pineapple.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Does that answer all your questions?
Yes, the Shrine can stay. I was actually thinking about taking it down because apparently more people have heard about it. Now the IT guys were walking by and they were like, what's going on over here? And my nurse was like, oh, it's just one of our patients. They like to brag about that little wall on the second floor. They'll go show it off.
I would actually prefer that you go. I would like to see it shrined up a little more. I want people to actually kind of be a little concerned when they see it. I wouldn't mind you having like a little action figure by it and like maybe some more photos. I would maybe the chip photo as well, kind of have the all faces of Ryback on there. I don't know. I think it could really, I can come out with a Ryback candle or just get a candle and put my face on it. And then that candle is always lit during work.
Be quiet, my
mother. Is that an emergency?
No. She was saying, I told you that. I was going to make you a candle with Ryback's picture on it. That was my mom.
Oh, so see, she's already thinking along. I'm just, you know, I think just go all out with it at this point. Never half-ass anything.
Yeah. Oh, it has brought smiles to so many people. And a lot of good conversations, though.
I love it. I always appreciate your support, Autumn.
So just FYI, my mom, you're like her first wrestler that she's interacted with and she's took an interest in this. Anyway, her username for her school, she's going back to school too, is Fan of Ryback.
Oh, very nice.
So I don't know. It's funny because we're all just.
Your mom is literally Napoleon Dynamite from your mom goes to college.
Yeah.
That is holy hell. I love it.
Yeah, this will be her second degree.
I that is incredible. I am proud of her.
You want to say something?
Yes, I want to say something.
Hello, how are you?
I am Autumn's mom. It's so nice to meet you virtually.
Should I call you Autumn's mom or do you have a name? Should I call you?
My name is Winter, like the season.
Ah, I love it. Well, it's very nice to meet you and I appreciate all of your support as well as Autumn's.
Thank you. I passed along the blessing of the seasonal names to my children. So I'm Winter and then my daughters are Autumn, Summer, and Spring.
I love it. It's...
So I just wanted to tell you thank you. I don't know how much Autumn has shared with you, but she goes to the hospital every day, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It doesn't matter. She has to go to the hospital every day for treatments. And she is, immune compromised. So it got interesting during COVID. But you and your show have really kept her going during this last little few months, it's been extra difficult for her. She's really had some real challenges, but the nurses have rallied around her. They've let her create Ryback's Corner. But I am working actually on a Ryback candle. I heard you say something about, you know.
Oh, I tell you, go all the way on the shrine. If we're gonna do it, let's go all the way.
No, it's a candle. It'll actually have your picture on it. I'll give it to her.
You guys are the best. I thank you very much, and I'm proud of her, and thank you for your support as well.
Well, I've listened to your show a couple of times, you know, when I've been in the car with Autumn, taking her back and forth to the hospital or whatever. I usually just take her on Fridays when I'm off work. And anyway, so I've heard it a few times, and I've heard, you know, you talk about just some of the junk that you've had going on.
Yeah.
And just want to let you know that you are making such a huge difference in the world. You know,
Thank you.
May not think that you're changing the world, but you really are. You changed Autumn's world. You changed my world. All the people that you touch and bless their lives, it's a ripple effect. And so you've got gazillions of ripples going on, changing the world. And I'm so grateful. I'm sorry to say I'm not a fan of wrestling. I was, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, but, you know, but I really have great admiration for you because you're so much more than a wrestler.
You are
a world changer. You're an inspiration. You know, you're clearly a man of great character, and you take your precious time, which of course is not a renewable resource, and you gift it to the world in such a beautiful way. And I'm really honored to get to talk with you today and just to tell you thank you for what you do to change the world and to bless and influence and encourage people. So
thank you very much. That makes me feel very good. So thank you.
You deserve everything good in this world, and we literally pray for you every day. I know Autumn, you know, you mean a lot to her. You've really been a great influence in her life and a wonderful source of encouragement. But she just came to me one day. She's like, I need you to pray for Ryback. He's good. What? And I was like, Ryback who? And what? You know?
Awesome.
Since then, we pray together and individually for you. And, you know, for you to be blessed and for God to continue to use you mightily as he already is. So anyway, all the best to you. And I'll give you back to Autumn. Thank you.
Winter, thank you. I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hello. Hello. Thank you very much for letting me speak to her. She is a very sweet woman, and I appreciate the kind words.
I jokingly say people like her more than they like me. She is a hoot. My seventh grade birthday party, we got up on the coffee table and we're dancing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she is hilarious and loves meeting new people. So
can you do me? I want to see you and your mom. Do you guys have TikTok or no?
No.
Oh,
probably want to get on it, though.
There's a new Shawnee knows what I'm talking. I just posted the thing on Twitter, the video of me eating chips with the dancing penguins.
Oh, yeah.
With the mafia song, whatever the. That's all the rave on TikTok. I would like to see a dance. That penguin dance though is pretty. You got to learn it. I wasn't gonna post myself doing it because I don't use TikTok for dancing. But well,
okay, I was dancing to On My Way Home by Motley Crue in front of the hospital, in front of the security guard when I walked back in to go get some water. He like waved at me and smiled like. I think I entertained him.
I love it. Well, Autumn, I thank you again for everything, and you're always welcome on, and I appreciate all your support, and your mom, Winter, is absolutely wonderful, so thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. Good deal. Thank you, Autumn. Thank you, Winter. Always love talking to good people. Got Shawnee waiting in the queue here. I just saw what did I miss something? We always get some random ass comments in the chat. Let's get Shawnee on today. Somebody was really mad in the chat yesterday, left a comment. I hid them from the channel. Somebody said yesterday, Jesus, Shawnee was on for almost an hour. Make time for, and I took like six other calls, but then there was another comment like, God, some of these callers, So it's like, what do you want? It's playing Russian roulette if we don't have Shawnee on. If we have Shawnee on, we know we're going to have a great time. So, Shawnee. Shawnee, channeling his inner stalker today. By the way, you know, the stalker, as tough as that guy is, he never came back on as himself after everything. So
never. I listened to that. I swear, I have to say, big guy, I listened to that part of it. I can't listen to the other stuff because it's too much.
It is.
But that part of it, I laughed my ass off. And you were laughing too. And I'm like, what is, like, this guy is...
I just picture him foaming at the mouth, like with crushed up like Xanax and Ritalins and like a half drunken Honey Jack crisp apple, like something, like he just went completely overboard.
He's definitely practiced it in front of a mirror 1,000 times.
Bro, I guarantee you he has a singlet at something at home and like pretends. He literally walks around doing that, pretending to be me. He literally called in as another person telling me how much he used to like me. And like that, like, so he's clearly hurt. Now, all of this is is hurt. He's hurt and he's mad that I'm not there. And he thinks it's all thrown away. And so, but he thinks threatening to kill me and my family is the answer to like, yeah, now he's going to be in prison and miss the big comeback.
I love all of them. Her family seems so sweet.
They do.
But like, if I was in her family, would I be called Fall?
I would call you Pumpkin Patch. Pumpkin Patch. Not even a just Pumpkin Patch. Pumpkin for short.
The hospital and being sick, and then like you're sitting at the nurse's station and you see three pictures of the big guy and you're like, what the hell, like what the hell is the big guy doing here?
Just but like, if they don't know wrestling, it's like, that's why I want the picture of the Chips. I'm more likely to be known. They might know, if they don't watch wrestling, they may know me as the Chip guy.
No, bro, a lot of people know who you are. It's not like people don't know who you are. Like, even people that I told you, like friends that haven't watched wrestling in years, like they know who you are. So it's not like you're not like a notable person. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, when I go out, I realize that. Like, when the people, but it's still, you know.
I see what you mean. The Chip. Got to the younger generation.
There's a lot of people now that don't watch wrestling that watched wrestling, that like not as many people watch wrestling overall on TV that used to watch it. I think it's viewed on social media clip wise. I think people watch the clips online, but I don't think a lot of like younger people, if they don't watch it on TV, I don't think they know the people as much today that they did even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There's so much more stuff. There's so much more stuff, and attention spans are so much shorter that because even when I was in WWE, social media was going, but it hadn't taken off yet to what it is.
You're 100% right. Yeah,
you would have seen me doing feeding time videos and catering every week if I would have known what this was then.
That's the thing. It's like also because all this stuff happened, like with Ryder, right? Like they took his channel from him and stuff, and he never made a dime on that.
Dude, it's crazy. And he was the one that got them everything, like got the deals.
Oh my God.
He got the ball rolling with all of that.
Yeah, and they didn't even take it serious. You're right. They didn't take it seriously before him.
No.
And then he showed them how big it could get. They started to do the platform.
This is why I'm telling you, they realize, they go, this is why I try to tell people, you don't need to be on TV or there. I understood this, and this is why Vince is trying to take this away from me. You could be way more popular and over on social media without TV than you can be being on TV alone.
Yeah.
Now, it helps. Don't get me wrong. The more things you have in your favor, the better. You could be a big star. Yeah. And so, like Logan Paul now dipping in both, like he's now going to be more popular than ever because he's now doing
100%,
both. But he was well known without wrestling prior. And this is what Vince, this is what he's took away from me. But even doing that, and I'm going to remind everybody of this, there ain't a goddamn person in wrestling active right now who's anywhere close to me on TikTok. And that's despite them suppressing me for over a year and a half on there.
But you know what the big test is going to be, big guy? when you go back and start wrestling again, whether it be AEW, whether it be, you know, in a backyard somewhere, yeah. Like
making my entrance through somebody's patio, opening the screen glass door to meet on the table.
Imagine coming through like a 5-year-old's birthday party.
Bro, I think I can get more popular just doing gigs like that. If I just like went and, like me showing up at birthday parties, doing power bombing dads and shell shocking grandmas.
It's like that commercial that I think it was like an ECW video game when they're in the backyard and they start slamming each other through the tables and stuff. But yeah, that would be amazing.
Just getting beat by everybody, getting paid like $5,000 a show, but just letting everybody beat me. Little kids, everybody, just getting pinned by Grimm at GTS Wrestling. Everybody letting dads beat me, not just showing everybody I have no ego, but just raking in the dollars.
Oh man, people would see it and they would still somehow spin it in a negative way.
They would, yeah, it would be because I'm taking all the money. It would be, I'm losing because I'm getting paid more money to lose.
Yeah, Ryback injures dad by letting him pin him. Unsafe work conditions, laying on his back.
Oh man.
So what I really was going to say, though, big guy, is when you start going back and wrestling and at being active and going to cons again, like it was, if you're, what's it called? Your following, right? If people like don't, if these numbers don't improve, then it's just another case of, you know, that it's real. I know it's suppressed. I know that, but I'm saying that it's just,
no, they should, factor. It should bump up even a little bit with that.
Exactly.
The problem is though, because here's the deal with that though. A lot of people will say, if you just look at the impressions, it's not like my stuff's getting shown to like a high impression rate. And
that's
people,
the word I was trying to use.
If I was getting really high impressions and like I just was getting no interaction at all, then it would be very like people aren't interested in it.
Yep.
It's the complete opposite though, and it has been like on the other platforms. So that's where it's like, but then they just cut down. They're like, well, we're just not going to show him to his following and let him fall into the algorithm anymore. It's essentially keeping me in purgatory. So that can come up like if you go to TV, then the TV audience is more, you're more relevant to the TV, that portion of people that follow for that, they may, more people may search for you than would be if I'm not on TV.
Yeah.
So that there should be a bump regardless, but it still wouldn't be, it still will not be anywhere what it should be because it wasn't, I was already doing it when not on TV, on these other platforms, like getting 6-7 figures all the time on YouTube and TikTok. And now doing it again here and there on it.
When you were doing like the WrestlePro shows and stuff, big guy, or was that like when did it start to really hit the suppression?
2016 was when it started on Twitter, and that almost instantly after they wanted my social media and we denied them, I noticed everything just started like just I was like, what the hell? And but I didn't even understand analytics. Like I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yeah,
either.
Yep,
and then I noticed like on Instagram and things, and I go, and that was fresh off of like being active and like constantly in the news. And like, it just kept noticing things. And then like they removed me. I'll notice the one time I really took notice, I go, something is definitely going on. Cause I didn't say anything for a while. Cause I wasn't sure. Like I didn't know, like I go, that's a huge thing to just say without knowing.
Without having facts.
Facebook, this is when Meta used to, Facebook and Instagram, you used to be able to talk to supervisors on the phone. And I got through to somebody. He called me after the call. And because I was inquiring, because they removed me as Ryback as an interest. So all my supplements and all my appearances, I would be able to promote them directly. I had my own link, my own following. It was like my own, it was a search term. Ryback like was or interest on Facebook and Instagram. So like, and it had a huge following on it. They removed that off the thing. And I go, why did they like, so instantly I couldn't market my supplements and my appearances to people that liked me all over the world. And that was the first real thing. And I called and the manager called me, Shawnee, I'm not even, he called me after the call with them. And cause he was very professional on the call. He called me on my cell phone. Cause he had my number on an unknown call, and it was the same guy. And he just said, he just goes, this is where I finally realized, he goes, everything that you think is going on is going on. He goes,
oh my God.
And he goes, I can't do anything about it. And he goes, but you're not crazy. You're not like, He goes, this just doesn't happen. He goes, they have a partnership. And he goes, there's things above me that I can't, like, he goes, I can't touch. And that was,
oh my God, that would have freaked me out.
But that was when, that was when I realized, I go, they're doing what I suspected. And I go, why wouldn't they? They wanted my accounts. They didn't ask me to change my names. They wanted my accounts with an NDA and never to talk about it. So this is why I'm trying to tell people, I go, this is, you don't think that, I go, so why would they want my accounts? They wanted my accounts so they could silence me with it, with an NDA. That was,
yeah, the normal person, they just, they don't change their name,
but they don't know, they don't even ask you to do that. No, they don't even ask that from people. They've never done this to anyone, but they did it to me with an NDA because they didn't want, they knew I was going to talk. So
that
I get what you mean. But the next best thing though is silence me as much as possible on all my platforms, which is what they did, and then put out lies about me to discredit me and to hurt my brand, so that when I do say something, their hardcore audience doesn't believe me.
That's it. I got it. And when was the last day you were in WWE, big guy? You remember? Like the payback
was in, I think, the end of May. It was Payback 2016 in Chicago, me versus Kalisto. I showed up to TV the next day in St. Louis for Raw, and that's where I told them, take me off TV. I'm going home. I'm done. I never want to talk or see Vince ever again.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
And then so August 8th here, just this past, this month was 7 years that my contract expired. And then we let, because they had, I had the multi-million dollar deal that I didn't sign. We kept going back and forth, but I walked out, and then I put a bunch of things in there. And they wanted me to sign over the trademarks, and I wasn't doing it. And so, and it was done, but like, I couldn't go on. I was so hurt anyways. And that's where I was finding out, like, I had the MRIs done, and it was a huge complicated deal. And like, when I left, they actually had, people don't know this. I couldn't breathe through my nose my entire career. Cause they got a broken nose in developmental and never got it fixed with it. It just kept going. So I couldn't breathe through my nose, and my left ear got busted in developmental Deep South Wrestling as well. I always got ear infections because I had a hole in my eardrum. I couldn't hear out of it. They weren't gonna. What they did though, here, so when I walked out, they tried to freeze my, they tried to stop my pay. They weren't gonna pay me. They were trying to figure out, and so they actually stopped my pay for like 1 or 2 weeks. And then I was waiting, and so as soon as they did that, I hit them with the injury. I go, no. I'm under contract. I have a broken nose and an eardrum that you guys need to fix. I go, this is documented with the trainers. And me and the girl in the health department are great friends. And I told her, but she works for them. So like, she has to like, but I just told her, I just played them essentially. I go, no, you guys are going to fix this, and I need my injury pay. So what they did is I forced them. They had to pay me all the way, and I wouldn't get cleared, and I didn't get cleared on purpose. So I got my ear and nose fixed while I was under contract still. And then the contract ended August 8th. They tried to get me cleared the week before the contract expired. They were trying to get me cleared, not to come back. They wanted to get me cleared so they could publicly fire me with it before the contract ran out, because they wanted to try to, and so I wouldn't let them, so I wouldn't go get cleared. And then the day I go get cleared, the day my contract expired, I went and got cleared that day. And then Mark Carano texts me, and like, I beat them at their own game on it. And they it was almost like a touche on their part. And he sent me a huge, like, when the day my contract expired, they just sent me thank you so much for your services, blah. And I literally just said, F off. And just, that was like, F off, you piece
got
of.
Got it, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy Carano, he also called Matt and Brian when they got released too, or whatever. And I guess he's the one that makes the phone calls, you know?
Oh, he used to when he was there for some of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, it's crazy, man. It's like, I just don't get it, man.
Dude,
like,
a horrible human being. He was bottom of the barrel, one of the most disgusting, filthiest human beings. Just zero character, zero trust. But that's why he'd gotten into that position. Just really slimy, grimy. Like, here's his wife, the lady that was going to marry him, left him right before their wedding. Like, like, that's just because he's a horrible person with it. And like, he would just say things. He tried to manipulate you and like played whatever little power that he had. He's just this little skinny fat guy like that. That's like not like, you know, just
skinny fat.
Yeah. Like, just like, I'm trying. He's like he looks like kind of like an NWO Pee Wee Herman, but like more body fat. and just like, and like just smelled a little. Like just I don't.
It just seems like to be in like included or to get your way up in the ladder, you got to be good at politics. And like me personally, I've never been good at politics because people who tell the truth aren't good politicians. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah. Oh,
it's the same reason why what happened to you, right? Like when you tell the truth, it's, I don't know what it is about humans that they would rather be lied to than hear the truth. And it's sad. Like it's really sad.
Well, here's the thing that, and this is where I learned though, but in this industry, in this, you do what the boss wants you to do at the end of the day, if you sign that contract. So like for the majority of us, you sign the standard, whatever the contract, you sit in the bleachers, and then you have a room full of producers and writers and Vince and the creative people, you know, figuring out how to do TV every week. Unless you have a specific contract where you're protected or making a certain, like, where you have some, like, where your role is predetermined, which a lot of people don't. It's just, like, up in the air every week, if, like, for most people on that, that, like, your role can change from week to week drastically. Like, if they're just like, yeah, oh, well, we're going to embarrass him this week, or we're going to fire him. Like, you, like, if you sign that you are subject to that at any point in time with it. But you have people, I'll never forget, like, and just to give you an example of like the politicking end of how much effort it takes if you want to try to politic. So I had my match, this was towards the end, my IC title match. Kevin Owens had beat me for the first one, he was the new IC champion. We did one more match in LA, Staples Center, the next pay-per-view. But to that build-up, the week before the TV, there was a segment, and Kevin had, like, we had done some things on TV, but we just, we weren't doing a lot, and it just didn't have, like, it was missing some stuff. And something had happened where Kevin, I'm trying to think, he was going to do something on the show, but it was essentially leaving him on top going into the pay-per-view. And I knew they were going to have him go over again with it. And so I had to like go talk to Vince and like about, like, I ended up power bombing him on TV that week. And like went in the ring, came out. I came out a second time later in the show, actually great reaction, boom, boom, boot him, hook him for the power bomb crowd was into it, and then left him laying. But I had to literally fight all day long. This was in Dallas, if I remember, because Jerry Jones cut me off. It was in Dallas, waiting outside Vince's office for hours just to talk to him to try to get this approved to go out later in the show for Kevin's segment later on to do this, which Kevin was all for, because Kevin knew what we were doing and Kevin had no problem with it. And so, because it gives us a little more equity into the program with it. That maybe I'm going to beat him.
Yeah, shows more of the story.
I'm going to get him, if not, but whatever. And I had to fight all day, though, and to wait, and like the writers, and like you have your producers for the match. I tell you, I was so exhausted. Just because you have to stand there. If you don't do like something, and I had to do different things, and sometimes you get in there quicker. But I'm telling you, it probably took 5 hours out of the day of like of waiting and coming back and waiting. And then like, I was getting ready to go in. I'd waited. Somebody came out. I was getting ready to go into his office. Jerry Jones comes to visit him. Jerry was in there forever talking about God knows what.
And forget about it. What those two talk about in closed doors.
Then you want to wait a little bit for that to diffuse. Like, because WrestleMania was there that year, I think.
Yes, I remember. I only remember because that was when they first built the Cowboy Stadium, you know? Stadium's beautiful, man.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God. Those screens in there are like insane.
Yeah.
Insane. So what happened, big guy, after you waited?
But I finally got in there to Vince, and then like Hunter and like Stephanie popped in, and like while I'm talking to them, and like Hunt, like they're like trying to like, there's so many different cliques and things going on within the organization of like people that are out to get you, or like that want, like Hunter wants to get his way on TV, and like this has happened. Like you go talk to Vince, and like Hunter has his ear all day long. And then all Hunter has to do is make a suggestion and try to get like, and not saying that that happened on this particular situation, but like there's constantly stuff where like a writer or like a producer might not want you to do something, and they might go try to talk him out of something. It's literally just this crazy. That's why I said like, man, you just got to know the role you're playing when you sign the contract. Otherwise, yep. But what happens is like people, most people don't even try doing this. You're just like, whatever they say, let's just go do it. Cause it's like, it's not worth it. It wasn't, I could tell you, it's not even worth the effort to just go do something little like that, because it doesn't affect money, doesn't affect anything other than you get to do a little extra for the show on it, but they really don't care either. And it's because they're going to do what they want to do. So it's just, I don't know.
So I remember hearing Chris Canyon. You remember Chris Canyon?
Yeah.
Who better? Nobody better than Canyon. I know he was crazy in the end, but like his life and stuff and like him being a New York guy. Was he crazy at the end? No, well, he got apparently from stories they were saying that he would hit who was that guy that was with him that has the deviled eyebrows, big guy, something with a J. He was his manager.
Is it that sinister sin?
What's his James name? Let me see. Canyon
sinister
manager.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they did on the Dark Side of the Ring, he was they talk about it, and he was living a double life because he was gay, but he hadn't come out yet, and his biggest fear was being outed and stuff, and the guy who was his manager,
James Mitchell.
Thank you, Jonathan,
in the chat.
Thank you, chat. So James Mitchell was telling a story he literally one day he just beat the crap out of him in the hotel room. And he was going crazy because he was so paranoid about people finding out because the business wasn't ready for it yet, you know? And then he went and signed with WWE or whatever after WCW, and Vince had made him go out and sing a Boy George song in the middle of the ring and embarrass him. You ever see that?
I forgot all about it. I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Yeah, and they made him sing a boy, and then James Mitchell or someone else was talking about how embarrassed he was over that, and how he did it because he still wanted to wrestle.
But that's what they'll put you. They'll do things like that to you. That's how crazy it is.
That's what I mean. They'll put you in situations where instead of just letting you go, they want to embarrass you and belittle you.
Yeah.
And I never understood that.
It's from Vince. It's Vince's mindset. And what this is why I try telling people there's so many things that are going to come out with how he does things. It's not good.
He's gotten this far, to be honest.
He's used people and manipulated people, and he's when you're wealthy like that, you can get your way on a lot of things. Yeah, I mean, look at what he's doing just on my end. He's partners with all these companies.
Told me, and I can't confirm this because I didn't research it, because I really don't care in the end of the day. It doesn't affect me as much as it does you, right? So, but I do care that people get treated wrong. That's what I care about. But apparently, since Linda McMahon was a senator in Connecticut, anytime they would have a court hearing, it would be in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So they would have the poll to get out of something because it was in Connecticut where she was a senator or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So it's crazy. You know? It's just wild.
It goes, this way, the things, that's why I'm hoping we'll see what happens with this FBI stuff. My thing is I just got to ride it out, get healthy and come back. My social media might not be fixed for years on all this, but at some point in time, something's going to get leaked out. Something's going to happen. And it's going to, the truth is, or regulations are going to be put in place. And then they're going to see my accounts, they're going to have to be able to backtrack. Well, how come his accounts were like this for so long?
I'll do this for you only, okay?
What is it?
So we can get some more followers. I will go naked on live on Instagram so that we can get all the hot women in the world to subscribe. Okay?
You're going to get kicked off of Instagram. You're going to have to go make an OnlyFans. You're going to have to put that link in your bio, brother, and get them to go just do that free subscription and then get them, bait them in.
The car washes ain't working, man. We gotta pick it up a notch.
But that's what you gotta record those car washes and put them on the OnlyFans.
I want to talk about something, big guy. Did you see that? You know The Blind Side, the movie?
No.
You never heard of The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock when the white family takes in the black football player? He doesn't have a family, and he's like, he becomes like this amazing lineman, and then he ends up going to the NFL.
I never heard of that.
Oh my God, it's one of the best movies ever. You're gonna cry, but it's amazing. And this is like a true story based on this NFL player, Michael Orr, O-H-E-R.
Okay.
And Disney did a movie about it, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. Sandra Bullock won like a Emmy or whatever for it.
Did Disney have a Chinese guy play him?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
Yes. So,
a Chinese female played him in the movie.
That was good. Yeah, you see that with the Cinderella saying that, like, she doesn't even like Cinderella?
Or is it Snow White or Cinderella?
Snow White, I'm sorry. You're playing that character, you idiot. Like, why would you say something bad about that character?
And then she's talking about how the guy was stalking during the past, was stalking, not courting. And like, I'm like, wait, what is going on? And they're like, dwarves can't even get casted as dwarves anymore. I'm like, we are living in, like, the just...
Yeah, Dylan the Hornswoggle had to go and do interviews.
Yeah, I saw him on that.
Yeah, because he was, like, it's just so crazy to me. Like, the fact that they took jobs away from little people because, a couple people, and not even their own people, complained about it, you know, is like, it blows my mind. But anyway, big guy, this story of The Blind Side, he ended up going to the NFL, whatever, and being, you know, whatever. This movie has made millions and millions of dollars.
Okay.
It was based on a book that was written, and apparently the family adopted him. That was the story. Like, they adopted him, and, you know, they have all these pictures and stuff, and they raised him from, like, whatever, 17 on. And apparently they told him that they adopted him. But he was over 18 at the time, so they couldn't adopt him legally.
Yeah.
So they did a conservatorship. And now he is suing them, saying that they made money off of the movie. And that's the only reason why they lied to him and basically tricked him to sign a conservatorship instead of, you know, it's crazy. It just came out yesterday.
Oh, my God.
But it's like this big thing.
I'm gonna look that up and read. So if he would not have signed that, they would not have gotten the money.
I don't know, because like the conservatorship, I guess they wouldn't have. Yeah, I guess so. But they're saying that they only made like $250,000 off the movie, so they didn't even make as much as he thinks they made, apparently. But I'm sure they made other money somewhere else, because they were doing interviews and all that stuff. So it's weird though, like, why wouldn't he say anything sooner, right? Like, he was making millions for all these years and now he wants to say something about it. It's just a little strange,
you know? I would have to read and see. I don't know, that there, that could be anything.
I can't believe you never watched The Blind Side, big guy.
I'll let you know, I'll look, maybe I've seen part of it. I don't know. I don't watch, like, I used to watch movies more when I was younger. I don't watch a ton of stuff now, but I do watch the occasional thing. So if I see it, I'll go, oh, I remember that. Or like, maybe it's just not registering with me.
What was the last show that you watched, big guy, like off the top of your head? Like, what was the last show you watched and you were like, that was a great show? Or even a movie,
The last thing I watched, which was whatever, 2 months ago, was I put on Netflix, was the American Gladiators documentary,
which was actually really good. Did you watch the ESPN one as well, big guy?
No, I did not see that one. I just saw the one on Netflix.
The ESPN one is way worse than the Netflix one. Was so much better because they didn't have Nitro and ice for the one in ESPN, because Nitro hates the owner of it, the Indian guy, and he said, I'm not doing your documentary if you have it on him. because ESPN's version was based around the owner of it and how he stole it from another guy. Like, he stole the idea from another guy.
Well, I believe it, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, he ended up making millions off of it.
They didn't pay those people. They those guys, all those, that whole cast, they tried to do what they do in wrestling, but they just didn't have the longevity or the, like, the history. They tried, all those people got screwed. They didn't make anything on the merchandising, and they made nothing. They made hardly anything to do that show. And, like, I watched that on, in, like, the touring of when they tried to take them on the road, and it's like wrestlers touring on the road 5 days a week in wrestling. Your body just gets destroyed, and you're just like, and those, you're watching it. I go, it reminded me so much of wrestling, but just without, like, just wasn't as, yeah, that was really popular, but that was smaller scale, like a smaller staff. It was like a, and it just didn't have the longevity, but they tried to, that they tried to do the same formula where they were just going to be able to plug in gladiators. With, like, but the American Gladiator brand wasn't strong enough to hold up on its own.
So, yeah, because they looked at them as replaceable.
Yeah,
like, I'll just get another muscle guy. And
that's exactly. But that's the wrestling formula what WWE has done with their logo, where they've created the factory line of people where they can get away doing that to a much bigger degree. But they tried to do that with gladiators, and it wasn't, the brand wasn't strong enough to survive.
Yeah, that's true. I never really.
I noticed it right away. I go, holy! I was like, that's exactly the manipulation on all the people, on the percentages, on everything. Those people should have made so much more. Not saying they should have just, like, but got, you know, they just should have made a lot more. But, like, that guy, the biggest mistake they made is they should have been loyal to that cast and been fair to them. That show would have, that probably could have been around for a lot longer.
Because
you got it. It's like the Hogan. You got to build a Hogan. You've got to get the names. You've got, if you do that, the brand, the logo will get stronger through the names.
Exactly. That's what that's what people don't get. Like, when you take care of your people that work for you, they will work harder and they will try to promote your brand as best as they can. When they feel like you're screwing them, they're not going to do anything to try to promote your brand in the best way. They're going to be out for themselves.
I've tried explaining this to people. That's the problem with Vince's mentality and mindset. But he thinks he is the one that treats people badly, and then people have left him, and he doesn't have enough self-awareness and hasn't done enough self-improvement where he realizes he's the problem. So then he tries to manipulate through 48 laws of power and control to try to, he's like, well, I'll just pay people even less and keep them here longer and use them and then get rid of them. Where then if he would have just treat people better and give people what they should get with it, they would be much more loyal to him and not want to leave him. Now, occasionally you might have somebody that wants to go, let them. That's their choice with that. But, like, he chose to go with a negative environment over a positive environment. That's my biggest thing with him. The fact that he thinks it's okay to, like, illegally do things. Like what he's doing, like outside of his walls. Like, hey, if you want to act a certain way within your walls, that's your little place that you built. Fine with that. Yeah, but for people that leave, you're trying to control their lives outside of it. Like, brother, you're going to have another thing coming. Like, karma does not discriminate against this stuff. So
100%. I have one last thing, big guy. So, he just left, but, his name was JG in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a independent wrestler, and he works with, Myers and them.
Yeah.
He messaged me and was like, Shoni, here's a random fact for you. Because I was doing the facts the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And he was like, the podcast equipment that Matt and Brian used to start up the Major Pod was the same equipment that you and Pat used. So without that, they wouldn't have started a podcast. It's like, isn't that weird though? Like, I just thought that was, like, so weird, you know?
That is Pat. Well, that would have been Pat's equipment then. I had my own.
Pat's equipment. Yes.
But we used Pat. I have that same one. I have two of them actually. I have one sitting right in front of me, my old podcast recorder that I still have plugged in here. And then I've got a traveling one that I had that Pat, we used his when I used to go back and we used to get the hotel rooms. And then we would record like 5-6 episodes early on.
I just wanted to let you know that, like, how weird is that, right? Like, that they ended up using that for years. Like, they got new equipment like last year.
I didn't. They used it for years. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they used it for. I'm like 99% sure that they used it for a long time. Yeah,
that stuff is that equipment. It's really good, man. That stuff will last forever on that.
Yeah. That's what they were saying. Like they were because they had no idea about how to podcast or whatever.
So. That was like me when I started. That was what Pat was the one that because he was doing a show prior had done one, and that's when he had the equipment with it, and that's why I was like, I had heard of a podcast. I was like, what is that? And then like
that was my thing too. When I first heard about it, I'm like, wait, people listen to people talk? Like,
yeah,
wait, like it was like, so, and now all I do is listen to podcasts.
Yeah. It wasn't like, it hadn't registered with me how like that. And like, they're now it's even bigger than it was just when I started this. It was still not, you know, a lot of people hadn't done it. I think a lot of people have the same reaction. If you're not aware, you're like, podcasting, what? Whereas like, yes. Now though, people are growing. Kids that grow up with it, they're being introduced to it at a younger age. So it's like radio to them, essentially.
Yes.
Whereas to us, so radio was radio, and it was like it just wasn't. It was like podcasting. Is that like less than radio? Like what is it? I didn't, you know. So
100%.
But then as I learned business and all this stuff, I realized oh, this is really really good to have as part of the deal, and I really enjoy it. So.
Yeah, you do all this stuff by yourself, right? Like, did you teach yourself how to do this stuff?
As it went along, I just started. Then I had people like set up my studio at home when I got all the equipment initially. I used to have people come to my house, and I used to do the show and record it on a hard cam on it. I've done multiple versions of this. And so like then I went to StreamYard where you could stream live for like YouTube. Yes. And then I stopped doing guests. When I started doing guests, I went to StreamYard so that I could have guests come on. And that's when I did like 2 years of having guests on, which I'm really grateful. Like that was a lot of fun, but that was a lot of work as far as like scheduling people. Like,
oh my God, like, that's a nightmare, dude, bro.
Can't, and then like people canceling and then like, you know, like that. So that's what led me though to going, okay, what can I do? Like, I want to talk to people and I wanted to do what I'm doing now, but I didn't have a way to talk to people as far as like, I was like, how am I going to get people to like, call in essentially like and have like a have options as far as people calling in. And so I started doing the YouTube chat. That was like, and then finally this came along. I go, bingo, I can integrate this with the show. And like, but yeah, and where this is like, you don't have to worry about like cancellations. And like this actually helps more for like people ask what they want to talk about, and then too like the supplements, it helps more with that than like having random just interviews with people. And so
yeah, 100%, big guy. But all right, man, I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
Always. And,
have a great day, brother.
You too, buddy. I appreciate it's you always coming on.
Later, brother.
Bye, buddy. Good deal. Thank you, Shawnee. Whoever, I know some of that guy that left that comment yesterday is probably fuming right now. Oh, Shawnee ate up another 45 minutes. Rex Gardner with the super chat. Thank you. Ryback, you're driving in heavy rain. Who do you pick up to save them? 1 Melina, 2 Victoria, 3 Jillian Hall, 4 Alicia Fox, and the rest get splashed. Brother, that's a horrible, horrible thing to ask somebody with that. Does Jillian have the mole or not? Is it Jillian Hall with or without the mole? I'm going to get all of them, brother. They're all getting in. I'm going to be in the big guy van and we're getting them all in. And we're going to hit that bong, hit that vape, hit that blunt. And we're going to be on the road making the next town. You can't, there's no good answer to say on it. You can't leave a woman on the side of the road in heavy rain, you know, if it was light rain, you know, maybe, but heavy rain, you got to get all of them. All right, let's take another caller. Taking a look here. Bring on Jacob for a question. Jacob, welcome to the Ryback Show. For the guy that asked about taking the pre-workout, check out my Wake Up Unlimited Energy, Pink Lemonade or Mango Candy. You will not find a better pre-workout, brother. Jimmy, you just got to hit that speaker in the bottom left, on the bottom left.
What's up?
Not much. How you doing? Uh-oh. We have a bad connection on that. I have a feeling the Wi-Fi on your end might not be wherever you're at. We might have to try back another time if you're in another location. Sometimes the Wi-Fi, guys, if we don't have a good connection, I couldn't hear you. YR Young Republican. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Ryback Show. Hello, hello. It's still connecting. That might not be a good connection. We'll try anime. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Ryback Show.
Mr. Ryback, how are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm all good. A quick question. How was it like when you was working with Paul Heyman back in 2013?
How was it?
Yeah.
We've talked about that a lot. It was, it was what it was.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Please forgive me if you already answered that question. Maybe I missed your answer at one point. But yeah, how was it like work with Paul Heyman, if you don't mind answering that question?
Oh, no, it was what it was.
Oh, man, because you know what? Back then, I was actually really happy that he was working with Paul Heyman. I was hoping you'd get an ultimate push from there, but I don't know what it was, sir, but...
Yeah, it was playing the role that was, you know, that they needed me to play for that time.
But I tell you one thing, that bullying right back, I think it was so funny. I was watching that quite recently as well. Like, it was just so funny.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that was what I was doing, that they pulled me out of that to put me with him, which is why I don't really care about it. It was not for me in any positive way whatsoever. So, but I, as a professional, I went out there and fulfilled it so he can get a couple more months of a payday with Punk, and it was what it was.
I apologize how it went, but it was fun where it was. But last question before I go. How come it was so difficult for you to pick up Paul Heyman?
As far as what?
Why was it so difficult for you to pick up Paul Heyman?
Why was it difficult to pick him up? Are you referring to the Hartford, Connecticut one where it was a live event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one, and this is exactly what happened. I told Paul in the back that I did not want to pick him up the way that I, at that time, I was picking people up over my head, you know, the throwing them up over my head, where guys have to kind of jump a little bit. But so Paul, though, is extremely overweight. Would you agree with that?
I do agree on it.
Paul is also old and out of shape. Would you agree with that?
Would agree with that, yes.
His stomach protrudes like a bag, a pillowcase full of hardened bars of soap just filled to the top. Like, his stomach just sticks out. I'm talking like 4 or 5 feet from like the belt line. It protrudes out significantly. So without me telling Paul that, I went to Paul in the back and I said, Paul, I think I should pick you up differently than over my head.
Ah, no, you're going to be fine. You're Ryback. No problem. I'll see you out there.
So that's what Paul said. I go, you know what? Fine. We'll go try it that way. I try to pick him up that way. Paul can't jump. Paul's stomach, there's no way you could get the world's strongest man. Nobody's going to be able to clear 4 or 5 feet of that gut over their head. So Paul starts freaking out, and I had to say, Paul, calm down. And then I picked him up and then modified it and hit him with a modified shell shock. Later on, I wrestled him at Madison Square Garden. Paul, I made sure, I told him, we rehearsed it in the back where I picked him up like I picked up the bigger guys, where I crouch down and then lift him up on my back very easily with it. So Paul, I could pick up very easily, but Paul, with no help out there and with that huge belly, there's nobody on the planet that is going to pick him up over their head. Does that answer your question?
Well, it was kind of funny how you just told the backs of my boy and like, oh, you can do it, you're a big guy. But yeah, I wasn't trying to be rude or anything, but that was one of the questions I really wanted to ask them. So, because I saw this on YouTube like 3 times back in the few years ago, so I was like, well, what happened right there?
Yeah, but like things happen out there with like, you got to understand. So like I do power moves. I've done thousands of power moves, right? I have a very high percentage of hitting power moves on the biggest guys in the world, of doing it over and over and over and over and over. There's maybe 2 or 3 times of something not going as planned exactly with it. If you go look at any wrestler, no matter who they are, whether they're a high flyer or power wrestler, different things, you know, Brock Lesnar fell down picking up Big Show for an F5, literally fell down and ate it with that. I've never done that with it. Seth Rollins has messed up things. AJ Styles has botched and messed up things. Everybody does. So like, I think it's important for people to know that when you're dealing with things and doing things night in, nights out, 4 or 5 nights a week, sometimes things just don't go as planned. But that was exactly why that specific thing happened the way that it did. And it would have been avoided had he just been a little more professional in the back.
You know what? That's actually a really good point, what you just made as well. So yeah, well, I do appreciate you answering that question, big guys. And I'll probably come back next time, yeah.
All right, buddy. You take care. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful question. How is my pie?
Old Pauly boy. By the way, that's 1,000% exactly what happened, just for people, because I know some people, there's a reason with it.
Oh, you'll be fine. You're right back.
And he wanted just to go eat. Go eat, Paul. I'll see you out there. I don't care. All right, moving on. Bring on Isaiah for a question.
Hey, Ryback.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just had a question.
Okay.
I saw all your matches with Cena.
Okay.
I just wanted to know, what's your favorite match with Cena that you had?
A lot, man. We had a good time doing a lot of live events. I mean, the 2 pay-per-views, the Last Man Standing, and then, or the 3 Stages of Hell. Wait, was it Last Man Standing was first, and then the 3 Stages of Hell was the second. Both were really enjoyable. I don't know, man. We did. You know what we did? We did a lot of table matches on live events. The table matches that we did on live events were the most fun out of all of them, though.
Really?
Yeah, because we would go out there and wrestle for, we would go for quite 20, 25 minutes. And the whole match would be about telling a story of trying to put one of us through a table. And like, it was just I learned a lot on those live events. So, and we were together for quite a while. So we even went on and did an overseas tour wrestling every night on doing that tables match. And so that match in particular, it was pretty similar what we would do on a lot of nights, but we would change some things up here and there, and it was a lot of fun. So
now I have another question.
Okay.
What's the biggest thing that you learned from Cena?
I think just taking your time. You don't have to just rush to try to go in from one move to the next. you can do a move, and he would oftentimes tell you to do a move, and he would like hit me with this, and you'd hit him with something, and he would sell, and he would just go play to the crowd. And so, you would get comfortable playing to the crowd, and where you do that, like, so you learn that you don't have to just rush and pick the guy up and go right to another move. You could hit him with a move and do character development, and I can go to the ropes and slap my head and go stupid, or slap my head and do the little Hogan ear thing to the crowd, and the crowd starts massively booing you, or like going over and nudging Cena with your foot and then like flexing in the crowd, like whatever it is, just doing things and start, like he'd even do things. He'd go get the microphone and cut a promo. Like, while you do this, so then you go grab the mic and then you start cutting a promo, and then he gets to his feet and he turns around and starts making a comeback on you. And like this stuff you don't talk about. So you learn to start acting and improving out there, and you're doing it, getting a massive reaction because he was the most over guy on the roster. So, but you get that, you get that training out there, and you don't take exactly what you do with him, but you get an idea that you learn that you go, oh, I don't have to just do move after move after move after move after move. And you know that, like I knew that before, and I didn't always do that. But when you're out there, you learn, you go, oh, you can get way more mileage out of certain things where you could then play to the crowd, and the babyface can actually sell up behind you at different times. And it's just, but you learn to experiment out there and have fun. And it works, man. It works. And you learn to start listening to the people, because what happens is he doesn't let you plan anything out. So then, you know, you're forced to listen, and if you're the heel, and the more you work with him, the more he lets you do. So when you're first working with him, he's going to tell you when to cut him off and whatnot. After working with him for a while and he knows you know what you're doing, he leaves it to you. He lets you make more calls. Yeah. I always tell people this. The first time working Cena, it was, give me three or four things that you do. That's what he said. And he goes, all right, I'll see you out there. Not even kidding. Then the last time I worked him, he literally came to me and goes, what do you want to do?
That's awesome.
So that is, and it shows, and he doesn't do that with a lot of people, but if you earn his respect and he trusts you and he knows you know what you're doing, he then, because then he knows he can do a different match, not his standard match. He can let you infuse some of your opinions in and whatnot, and then he could put some of his stuff in with it. So, but we all have experienced it. Anyone who worked with him, and he's like, give me three, four, or five moves that you want to do out there. And then it's like he's calling the match in the ring. And like, and he had a format, he had a cookie cutter format that worked for him with that. But it teaches you to listen. And then you see what he's listening to. So then when he starts fighting back at something and you hear the crowd starting to go crazy, and then you hear when he tells you to cut you off, and you hear the people, you hear that, like how it takes the air out of them. But you kind of learn that as the match goes on, at different points in timing that you could take to work with other people, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it just slows everything down, essentially, where you don't have to rush is the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah,
I appreciate your time. And I add into that, where did you find Feed Me More from? Like, where did that stem from?
When I was at Smoky Bones in Louisville, Kentucky, when I was away from WWE, and one of my motivational books was talking about, it was about feeding your soul. And there was a phrase in it about feed me. And at the restaurant, there was one of the cooks who would make he would hide food for me with it. And he essentially would go, feed me more. And like, and then I would then tell him, feed me more. That was kind of like a code word to like when I want food, and like they would hide food, like hide a steak or hide chicken wings for me. That became the code in the restaurant for me and like my food. And then with the positivity, with the motivational stuff, it to me, it kind of was the beginning of the hungry mindset for me of wanting more out of life in general, that I was able to then do on TV when I wanted more competition. And like, you know what I mean? It just all kind of came together from that though.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome, man, that you incorporated that into your set, you know?
There was an opportunity to. They were giving me the local people, and it was just something I go, I wanted to face regular roster talent. And that was the thing that, and then Vince, they came, I'll never forget, Road Dogg came to me and he goes, what did you say out there? And I said, I didn't even know what that. I go, feed me more. He goes, yeah, keep saying that. He goes, Vince absolutely loves it. So that was it.
That's awesome, man.
But
that's
yeah.
awesome, right back. But I appreciate your time, man. I appreciate you answering the questions. And I hope you have a great rest of your day, my man. I'll be in the chat.
Likewise. Thank you for your time, bud.
All right, man. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Great questions. Rex Gardner following it up with a super chat. You're out on the town. You see one JBL, two Undertaker, three Brian Kendrick, and four Bubba Ray Dudley. Who would you slip the laxative and watch them run to the bathroom? Brother, this is... We're going to give that one to Bubba with that one for the busted open stuff until they bring me on. Tommy called Ziggler and asked for my number back weeks ago and is yet to pull the trigger on that one. So we'll see if they ever come through. But until then, we're going to give Bubba Ray Dudley that laxative, a little harmless dumb and dumber prank. Drink up. They're all in good fun. I like Bubba Ray Dudley. I like Tommy Dreamer. I'm not happy with the way that certain things have happened when they know who you are and they know you, and they allow somebody to put lies out on their show. Joe says, you guys understand that you can have a large following that is also not very active, right? Josh, that is incorrect, though. That is spewing misinformation. And I had the engagement and the interactions and all of that, and it was all taken away literally overnight. So you are shell-shocked out of here. And I am beyond active and am very engaged and have great engagement with my posts. I am not getting pushed out, though, to my following to the degree that it should. Preventing me from falling into the algorithm, which is being done on purpose by Vince and WWE on the various platforms to hurt me perception-wise, to hurt me revenue-wise with it. But we are going to beat them like we beat them on everything, and the truth is going to come out, and everyone's going to see. And anyone defending them, they will just change their argument to something else when I'm right on this one as well. Yeah, black rice. Somebody says they purchased the forbidden black rice and it was more expensive. It is more expensive, but that's why I say just you get buy one or two bags and you mix it with a big portion of white or brown rice and you get a combination. That way it lasts you longer and you're still getting those nutrients. You might just not be eating the whole thing, and then but you're getting enough. So try that. Try that and see how you like it. See here. Wasim, welcome to the Ryback Show.
Ryback, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Big fan.
Thank you very much. What's on your mind today?
You said what?
What's on your mind today?
Not much. Just wondering. So what's going on with you, between you and WWE? What's the whole mindset? Why do they want to blacklist you from everything?
Because I left, I walked out, I did not sign over my trademarks, and I spoke out on everything that's been going on there, how they treat people. They did not want me doing that. So they when I left, they wanted me to sign over my social media with an NDA. So they wanted me to give them everything and not to never talk about it ever again, essentially silencing me. When they got denied that, they then reached out to all the social media companies at various points and have had me suppressed on the accounts. That's done. While they've done that, they then have pushed out fake articles and have other dirt sheets or publications write fake articles about me to then get people to think negatively of me so that when they do hear my voice on anything, even though I'm being suppressed and my reach is being limited, even if somebody hears it, they kind of discredit me because it's kind of like you know how like CNN with Joe Rogan, when Joe did the thing with the whole COVID thing?
Yeah.
And you know how they started putting all that like negative press on him out?
Yeah,
they were doing that to discredit him, but he was to a point where they could not hurt me. He's on Spotify. They could not suppress him with that. But like, that's the same thing, but for wrestling, that happened in 2016.
So you think it's Vinnie Mac, or you think it's the guy with the
long nose? No, it's 1,000% him. There's nobody else. It's only him. And he has this stuff, and he's partners with all these companies with the brand, and like it is what it is. But time, like, there's going to be regulations on this stuff, and the truth is going to come out at some point. Like, there's no way that they can cover this up forever. It's like, and I have the proof. The companies have told me I'm being restricted, but they won't tell me why.
And basically, it goes all back to WWE.
Yeah. Well, will you tell me if a multi-billion-dollar company, I have the letter that I've posted over and over and over. If a multi-billion-dollar company sends you a legal form saying to sign over all your social media with an NDA, do you think it's then likely they would be suspect number one? Would you agree on me why I'm probably suppressed or restricted?
I honestly wouldn't agree, because I mean, you built a name for yourself. You built your name as Ryback, and for them just to take that away from you, that's effed up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I go, they would be the suspect number one on this. That they wanted that was the other thing. And I won my name. That was the other thing. And I changed my name, and I beat them at their own game on this, and that pissed them off. But so we're going to destroy this brand to as much as we can, and try to discredit him for leaving and speaking the truth of everything, even though everything was their fault of what they've done with all of this. This is what I'm trying to, they were the ones that stabbed me in the back. And like, it all goes back to legal stuff from 2012. In 2011. So I'm left. I'm the one that left, though, that's trying to live my life. And they have reached out and latched on to me, and they're trying to prevent me from
surgery. So was your contract expired, or yes, did you just leave on your own terms?
Yeah, it expired in 2016. It expired in 2016. And then I had to file to get my name, the trademark that they trademarked without my permission, which they would not let me trademark, which I had to do all this through the court, the USPTO with them, that I was right and that I won on, because they were caught lying. They in 2018, the name was going to be transferred over to me. On the last day, they registered for the trademark and lied to the USPTO and made me spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to win my name back just this year. So,
yeah, I've been watching you on TikTok, and I've been listening to everything you've been saying about that, and it's honestly very, very effed up.
It is, but the thing is a lot of, there's going to be people that don't want to hear it or don't want to agree with it. But it impacts everything I'm doing. It impacts my ability to earn a living, to what I should be making and taking care of my family. And it's putting me, like, it's like, if I could never wrestle again, that's the thing. Nobody knows if I could ever wrestle again. They did all of this with me not being able to wrestle, which makes it even worse. With all of this, so that's where I'm just saying.
Can you wrestle in the Indies?
I'm not cleared with that. I'm not wrestling at all. I'm going to that as the goal, to come back in wrestling, because that's going to further help everything. That was always the goal, to come back, but there were no guarantees that I was going to be able to come back from this. Is what I'm like. This has been years of rehab and all the stem cells and just countless hours of rolling on a golf ball to try to break up the scar tissue. Like, it's been, but like, it has put me in a position where like I shouldn't even have to do that. Like that, but I wanted to do that anyways. I was doing that regardless. But like, say that I was never going to wrestle again, that makes what they're doing even worse, in my opinion.
That's so.
So, but I want people that I have to be vocal about this, because when it's going to get, I'm going to get on the right show. It's going to get the right attention, and everyone's going to see, because the accounts are being suppressed. So no matter what anyone wants to believe or not, the accounts are being suppressed. Like the companies have admitted to this, but they won't tell me why. With it, and I have no violations on any of them. I've done nothing wrong with it. It all ties back to WWE. So now that point is, it's going to, at some point in time, there's going to be a trail somewhere. Something's going to happen, and we're going to be able to get this. So, but if I don't talk about it, nobody will ever know. It just makes me look like my brand. It's the perception is reality. They go, oh, why doesn't he get, you know, a lot of views or whatever? He has a huge following. Oh, he must have bought his following. They don't realize that I was being seen and all this was taken away from me. So
you're basically just shadow banned from everybody seeing your content.
Exactly. It's like this show. I have 1.35 million. When I left WWE, I had 1.7 million Twitter followers. I'm now down to 1.35. But this show, I do this show live for an hour and a half, 2 hours, Monday through Friday. It only goes out to about 1,500 accounts on here.
What, this on Twitter that you're doing right now?
Yeah, but only 1,500 of my followers or people even get this. Whereas I was talking about it earlier on the show. I see accounts that have 10, 12,000 people. They do a live stream on their show. They get hundreds of thousands of impressions. Why with 1.35 million am I only getting 1,500 impressions when I have good engagement? Like, there's people that are engaging. The numbers are very good. So it doesn't make sense. And Twitter's already said I'm being suppressed. They won't tell me why, though. So it's just, it goes back to like, well, why are you doing this to me?
What? So by Twitter saying you're suppressed, do you mean the previous owners of Twitter or Elon?
No. So currently I'm being suppressed. They've told me I'm currently being suppressed on the latest case. They closed the case and they will not tell me why. The prior regime that was in charge, I was restricted for 4 years on here for no rhyme or reason. Literally restricted, not even shadow banned, restricted. I couldn't advertise. I couldn't do anything with it. So I was being seen really little on that. But there's levels. There's restriction when you're restricted, and then there's shadow banned, suppressed, ghost banned, whatever term that they want to call it. So
that's so crazy. And all that because they don't want you to go out. They don't want you to become bigger than what you are.
Exactly. And then, but what that does is it gives me more and more options. And then the more that I speak, the more power, the bigger you're following and the people are following you. When I speak up on things, that makes my voice louder. They're trying to keep my voice as low as possible. They don't realize I'm not going to stop though. Like, Vince is going to go before I go with it. I'm not stopping. It's so personal with what they've done. And I go, I know what I'm fighting for. And all the past wrestlers that have passed away young, like, this is, all I am fighting for is good and fairness with this. No wrestling fan should be against me with what I'm trying to do with this. I'm not against the industry. I'm against Vince and WWE of how they treat the wrestlers on what they've done and who they manipulated and all the guys that have passed away young and all this stuff that Vince has pushed out with his horrible mindset.
Basically like them just bringing in these big indie guys and signing them to multi-deal contracts. And then next thing you know, they just don't push them, don't do anything with them. And thing is, they can't do anything. They're under a multi-year contract and they can't even go anywhere and leave and do what they love doing.
Yeah. But when I speak up of how things work, and that educates people, wrestlers, what to look out for. Like, I tell people, get an agent. All wrestlers should have agents. No wrestler should be doing, we shouldn't be doing our own contracts. Vince and them tried to scare us in developmental and tell us we couldn't use agents, or if we used agents, they wouldn't work with us. And like, just little scare tactics like that, like stuff like that. It's so silly and stupid.
So what about all these agents they have working for them? That's a different sign with any of them.
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah, that's a producer on that. Those are to help people put together the matches. Yeah.
So you think anything that had to do with that whole controversy you had with Phil have to do with what's going on with you and them, or
no, that's separate. None of that has anything to do. Yeah, yeah. Brother, I'm going to take another caller. I appreciate your time, all right?
No problem, right back.
You take care.
Nice talking to you, man.
Thank you. You too. Good deal. Take one more caller here. Somebody has a picture of Tactile. This is the photo of an old Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar that got me in their profile. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, big man?
I'm well. How are you today?
Very good, very good. Enjoy listening to your show. I try to listen to it when I can, you know, at the gym or just running around during the day. So it's very cool. I really enjoy it. I'm a big wrestling fan. I just had a couple of wrestling move questions for you.
Okay.
So do you think the spine buster is a big man move, or is it kind of for everybody in the ring?
I think it's for anybody. I think it's how you deliver it and how you, the intensity that you put into it, you know, how you react after the move is delivered. I've seen smaller people do the move great. I've seen bigger people do the move great with it. I'm a big fan of that move though. I love hitting that move and then popping up and kind of firing up. Yeah. It's one of my favorite moves just because it's easy to do. It's easy for guys to take. And it's like I said, you could really like it's a great move to like fire up on.
Yep, exactly. Awesome, awesome. Well, the other question I had was, what do you think's harder to teach, like a newer wrestler, do you think a V-trigger flying, which is like a flying knee, I'm sure you know, or a drop kick? Because I know the drop kick, you know, you got to get your weight, you know, you got to end up parallel, and it's kind of hard some people to you know, have that coordination to do, whereas a V-trigger is like you're literally just kind of lifting up your knee.
Yeah, I think it's going to be different for everybody. Some people are going to be naturally good at throwing drop kicks. Other people might not be naturally good at throwing the knee. Some people won't be good at doing either of them. Some people, some moves come easier than others, and that's where you kind of you get your repertoire of moves, you know, and everything, your Rolodex of moves that you end up keeping in your brain or writing down that you're going to do, that you're able to actually perform. You know, drop kicks are, I feel like drop kicks are pretty, like for me, I'm just off the top, I always thought drop kicks were easy. I threw them when I was in developmental, when I was younger, and I stopped. After my ankle injury, I didn't throw them anymore. It's not necessarily a move. A drop kick isn't a move a bigger guy does anyways. Yeah. I think it looks silly, quite frankly. That's how it was kind of explained to me too. I remember like agents, they're like, you're bigger than everyone, run them over. Like you want it, but it's a psychology aspect that, like, if you look like a killer and you're out there like bouncing around and doing, looking like a little fairy and
like a little ballerina.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's an instant disconnect. Anytime I see a large guy that looks like a killer but they're doing it just to show people, oh, I could do it. I don't care. I know what I can do. So it's like, I'd rather go do the thing that's going to get the reaction, that's going to go sell tickets or sell merchandise and make people like, that guy's a badass. So that's where like that comes in. But some guys are going to be better at doing one or the other. The knee, you know, you just got to learn when you do that stuff is where the placement, and that comes down to having a good teacher on, you know, where you could do that. And two, like some of those things you never want, on a flying knee, you never want your kneecap making contact with any part of a guy, their face. You'd want it ideally being your thigh, or is the thigh meet, where there's going to be some give on that, where you could lay that in. You always want to, you find a spot that's flush that you could lay it in kind of flush, but it's not going to break somebody's jaw. It's not going to break their nose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So yeah, you learn to hit hard in safe places where then you can lay something in and it's going to look really good, but it's not going to actually hurt them. So
it looks real, it looks clean, right?
Yeah. And then obviously you've got the thigh slapping and different things, and everyone has their own flavor on all that. So.
Right on. Yeah. You know, there is exceptions to the rules with big dudes looking like fairy boys, but I mean, Mike Awesome was a kind of a big dude. He wasn't like you big.
No, dude, Mike Awesome was huge.
Yeah. He was a bigger dude, and he would do the moves he would do, man.
But I would argue though, but cause I was just watching something of him. He did, like, it was truly awesome. Like that, like the name fit with that. Seriously. He was, but you look at it though, but if he would have wrestled a different style, he could have very easily been even more believable doing, and like, not saying he could still done a lot of the things that he did. There's just a way to do things and deliver it a certain way. Then I'm trying to think of an example of something that you could do and how you deliver it. It's just a simple thing. Like the guys that do the running Vader splash in the corner, or the Stinger splash, but like say the big running Vader splash, when a big guy runs into the corner and squishes a guy, right?
Yeah.
Well, that move is just a very simple, easy, effective move. But like, if I do that and say you're going to do it two times, like that move, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to run in and do that move, and then I'm going to get myself back into position to do it again and try to maybe do something to stay in character and that to get back into position. Rather than like, guys, like if you went and did that squisher and then I do a somersault backwards to get to my feet, like that, like it makes no sense.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And you got to know that as a talent. Like, no, that is there's not another man at home drinking a beer watching that television program that if I do that big thing, God damn, that Roback's a beast. And then I do that little somersault backwards and I clap my hands. I go, yeah. And then like, I go, oh, like people, it's a disconnect. So you've got to know who you are. I've always told people, like, I just think doing like things like that are silly with it in general. Like people watch that. Like nobody cares that you can, we've all done that in developmental and training, going forward rolls and backward rolls. Whoopee. Who cares with it? Like you would never do that in a real fight situation on that. Like, so I don't, just stuff like that. And that's my opinion. Other people might say, have a reason why they want to do it. I'm like, go ahead. It's not me. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, because like the Usos do that move, right? And they do it real good with their character, right? Jumping from the corner and doing that splash. They, instead of doing the splash, they turn it around or whatever.
Yeah. Everyone has their own reason and styles of doing things and whatnot. But I sometimes I'll see guys, and I've talked to them. There was somebody, they did something in the corner, and they do that little backward somersault. And I go, like, I like the person working, I just like, you should just take their boot their head off if they do that. Like, why are you doing that? Like, that's just, you're completely taking your eyes off your opponent when you could just back up. And like, it just doesn't, I don't know, it, unless you're going to do something out of it and have it make sense. But it's wrestling, do whatever you want. I'm just not going to do it. Right, I think it's right. A disconnect.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time, man. The picture of this, I don't know if I couldn't hear you, but the picture I have on my profile is of strawberries. I'm from Strawberry, Southern California, Ventura County area, so we're kind of known for strawberries. So I figured throw that on there. It's, you know.
Good, oh, I can see it. Oh, man, I love a good strawberry.
So right on, man. I appreciate your time. I'll keep listening for whatever time you have remaining.
All right, brother. You take care, and thank you for your time.
You too, brother.
Bye-bye. Later. Good deal. Thank you. But the main point of that is just the disconnect of why doing certain things. It's like, unless it's in your character, you know, I'm not going to hit a spine buster and then do a cartwheel and then start clapping my hands or raising the roof. You know, I just think it's silly for that one. Like, but if that's your character, that's a different thing. Like Damian Sandow would do the cartwheel as a heel for that character. And it was perfect. It fit with it. But there's just, it's like guys have, on the outside, you know, guys, I've done the suicide dive on the indies. I do the suicide dive. I can do it very easy. I can do the house show dives very easy. I can do a few different things with it. But the suicide dive, never once have I looked in the crowd and started doing that little jumpy thing up and down. Like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, I just think that's, it's not something a big guy would do. It just does, it's a disconnect. Or like clapping my hands and then like hit the ropes. And then do that little ballerina run and dive through. Like, I don't understand any of it with it. Rather, I would just run, dive through and take everybody out and then scream, I'm hungry, or I hit hard. And then keep it in character, you know? Let me see what time it is. Guys, with that today, I've got a busy day. We got to get a lot done today. We've hit the hour and a half mark. I appreciate everybody who called in today and had a fun show. Thank you to Shawnee, as always, for calling in. If you could please share this show on Twitter, tag Elon and Linda, and ask them why do they continue to suppress my account, please. Let's just keep it up on all of that. YouTube, they can go to hell, all of them over there. And we're going to keep on keeping on with everything. Guys, check out Feed Me More Nutrition, feedmemore.com. Save 20% discount code FeedMe20, FeedMe20 on that. And you get a free shaker bottle with your order. Select as your free gift. We've got all the Ryback merch and are the best supplements on the planet over there, guys. FeedMemore.com. Let's have a great day, ladies and gentlemen. And until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more. Hey, Rybackers, don't forget to hit that like button, smash that subscribe, and shell shock those notifications for the best supplements on the planet with Feed Me More Nutrition and all the latest cool new Ryback merch. Visit feedmemore.com.